Thank you, Lord. We're going to talk about the name of Jesus tonight. A few things, you know, a lot of things we've known for a long time, but I've got he's showing me some things. I've just never seen it this way before. And so I think you're going to like this, okay? So let's start in Colossians chapter 3. And what's amazing, this whole chapter, I thought about, we may just read the whole chapter, because it's just so the mind of Christ for today. If you go start with Alan's message this morning about taking off those of you that were here, was that a great illustration, you know, taking off the old man and cutting those things away and putting on the new man? And he used different scriptures than this, but really that same lesson is in Colossians chapter 3. And so let's just start off here in verse 1. The verse that I'm really after is verse 17. But let's just, it's good for us once in a while to get a nice little dose of the Word of God here, you know. So it says, if you then be risen with Christ. Am I at the right church? We got everybody here, you're risen with Christ. Amen? So this is talking about us. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. That's really a good word. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If we really knew the depth of those three verses, we would hardly act like mortal people, mere humans, natural people at all ever again. I think we're going to come into fuller and fuller understanding. Because our Bible, if we went to Ephesians, the same Paul writing to the Ephesians, you've been quickened together with him, raised up together with him, seated together in him. See, we think we're just little worms trying to make it through. And the truth of the matter is we are seated at the highest place of authority in the universe. Not just, I started saying on earth, but in the universe. That's who we really are. See, he is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. If we had time, which we won't today, we'd go to Galatians. It says the child, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, that's not talking about Jesus right there. That's talking about you. Now, you may be a little child. You know, I have this message I call the Laba Laba message, where that guy had that 442 Oldsmobile. And he'd just sit there and go, Laba Laba Laba, you know. I mean, it just, the camshaft, so much power, the whole car would just rock. Laba 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 Laba, you know. And a guy could get one of those. I'd like to have one. I'd like for Cole to have one of those, my grandson. You know, I really would. I'd like to restore it and just give him a 1969 Oldsmobile 442. Oh, my God. Whew. But it could be his. I could have it in my will. He could be the heir. He could be Lord of that thing. But I am not about to give him the keys when he's 6 years old. Why? Too much power, you know. So as long as you're a child, you differ nothing from a servant. Even though, in truth, you be Lord of all. We are truly Lord of all. And we're growing up to be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We are growing up into the head. We're growing up into the image of Christ. Amen? All right. Verse 3 again. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then he tells us, see, this is part of the mortification and edification is the transformation process. Okay? Mortify, therefore, your members. That sounds like the 10 o'clock message, doesn't it? Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. And he starts right off with fornication. Mortify, it means wound it. Mortify. Let's see, Dave says, if you spend the night in a mortuary, being worked on by a mortician, and the next morning your body will be mortified. And it's not going to give you any trouble with sin anymore. When it says mortify your members, and it says fornication first, that's Nathan 101. Let it not be once named among you. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. I'm not sure what that is, but it's really bad, I think. Boy, evil concupiscence, I don't want none of that. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake, now the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That would include dirty jokes. That would include slander, gossip. Lie not one to another, seeing that... Now, here's back to Alan's message. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, this new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Ephesians, he said that new man is created, and I like to say from the get-go, instantaneously, in righteousness and true holiness. The nature comes into you full grown, but your spirit man comes in as a child and has to be taught. But we're growing up. You're about to have your bar mitzvah. You remember what the bar mitzvah is really for? It's a declaration. Our son who was a child, this day has become a man of age to participate in the family business. We're about to begin participating in our father's business, which is saving souls. All right. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Here we go, putting on more. Now here, put on. Here's a new man. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, excuse me, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, well, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity. You know, that's love. That's agape, which is the bond of perfectness, or you could say maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Back to 10 o'clock message, verse 16, the 10 o'clock message. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, except for the Sermon on the Mount. I'm seeing if anybody was here. Let the word of Christ, including the Sermon on the Mount, including everything, dwell in you richly. I'm thinking again right now of Brother Wigglesworth. When Lester Summerall wanted to come in the door the first time he ever came, he was all dressed up, had on his nice suit and a bowler hat, umbrella, London, you know, England anyway. But he had a newspaper tucked under his arm, and he's about to come in. And Smith saw him for the first, never met the guy before. Smith saw him and says, "You can't bring that in my house. Only truth is allowed in my house." Tell you what, the Word of God has got to become so rich in us, it's got to become who you literally are. Bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One time I was reading this and the Lord says, "How long has it been since you sang to me?" And he meant not in a worship service at church. Another Smith Wigglesworth. Now he was a big guy, big barrel-chested Englishman. And the people that knew him best said every morning he would spend almost an hour singing and dancing before the Lord. Reminds me of King David. Dancing when that Ark of the Covenant was coming in. See? Now we finally made it to our verse. Verse 17 is one I've been after. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And notice the very next thing talks about wives and husbands. Now, that verse, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, we think of, now I'm going to start the teaching now. This is some things he's been showing me. We normally think of using the name of Jesus, and we're supposed to. In fact, let's actually look there. Go to Matthew 28 and put it in Mark 16. We're going to go to both of them. It's just good to see it in your own Bible. In his name, we're to do these things. Matthew 28 and then Mark 16. Let me find them both here. Go pretty quick. Okay. So starting in verse 18 of Matthew 28, it says, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, and that's authority, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore. Therefore means, when you find the word therefore, you need to know what it's there for. Because all authority has been given unto him. Then he tells us to go. We're going in his name. You got that? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I feel like putting including the Sermon on the Mount. In all things whatsoever I commanded you, all things. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, Mark recorded a few words that Matthew didn't. It's the same incident. So Mark 16, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth. Now let's stop for a moment. He's talking to the disciples, the apostles, the ones that he's been training for 3.5 years. And he said, I want you who already believe, I want you to go, not just to the Jews now, but to all the world. And I want you to teach them everything I taught you. Now, not everybody's going to believe it, but those that believe it. Believe what? Believe the gospel that you're going to teach them, which is the same gospel I taught you. Those that believe, here's what's going to happen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, this is not talking about the apostles. It's talking about the believers who heard the apostles. It's talking about you. It's talking about me. It's talking about every person that's ever heard the gospel. And in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now get this. If you believe, you lay hands on the sick, and they might recover. And they shall recover. You don't get any stronger than shall. 100%. This is where we got to go. That either happens or Jesus is a liar. Smith Wigglesworth again. He's walking down the street, saw a lame man. I don't know whether he had a cane or crutches or what, but a lame guy walking. He was able to walk, but he was messed up. On the other side of the street, Smith yelled across the street. You know, he wasn't known for his shyness. He says, "Do you believe the Lord could heal you?" "Well, I hope he can," or something like that. Smith says, "Well, he either will when I pray, or he's a liar." That's where we're coming. And actually, God's... Do y'all understand the woman from Canaan who had a daughter grievously possessed with a devil, she came to Jesus? And at that moment now, the only people on earth that had a covenant with God was the Jews. The Canaanites didn't have one. But she came and he says, healing is the children's bread. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now, is Jesus God in the flesh? She came and she wanted her daughter delivered. God in the flesh told her no. And she said, paraphrase, that's not good enough. There's only two people in the Bible that Jesus ever called having great faith. This is one of them. God tells her no, and she's not willing to take that for an answer. Quiet in here. She said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He said, woman, great is thy faith. For this saying, your daughter is made whole. Is that good stuff or what? I mean, here's one where she comes and asks something and God in the flesh says no. And that's not good enough. I will not take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. And a crumb will get her done. Okay. So can you see that in the name of Jesus, we have been authorized to use that name? Amen? All right. So we think of using the name of Jesus, like we should, to cast out devils, heal the sick, and so forth. That's not wrong. But notice here in Colossians 3:17, it says, we are to do all, everything we do in word or deed, we're to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what does that mean? I've been meditating on this a long time. Notice, and then it starts talking about husbands and wives right after that. And I knew there was some connection, but it eluded me for a long time. Listen, it means you have his name in very much the same way that a bride on her wedding day takes her husband's name. Now, his name becomes her name. And it's more than having the husband's name on a keychain in your pocket. The bride and her husband have become one. Now, I was thinking about this. Sue, when she goes to Walmart and gets groceries or whatever it is she gets, when it's checkout time, she does not walk up to the little gal at the checkout register and go, I've come to buy these in the name of Gary Carpenter. But that's the way we use the name of Jesus, isn't it? You know, we think of it like, I've come, you know, in the name. No, she is the wife of Gary Carpenter, like we are the bride of Christ. Okay? She is Sue Carpenter. She has the name. Everything she does in word or deed is done in that name. She has a debit card and she has a checkbook in the Carpenter name. And it's her name. And she has every right to use it. Now, thankfully, Sue doesn't do anything to dishonor that name. She doesn't steal in that name. She doesn't lie in that name. Everything she does in word or deed brings honor to the name. Now, you have to get this. She has the name. It is her name. She is, I'm trying to say it all these different ways. She is one with the name. Be turned. Go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians 6:17 just for a moment. Now, Paul was really teaching in that passage on avoiding fornication. And he draws analogies how we are married. Again, how we're if you're married to the Lord, if you're joined to him in the spirit, you're one with him. Like a man and wife become one in the flesh, we become one in the spirit. So 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That becomes so one, Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, he said, I've come to the point now for me, as far as I'm concerned, for me to live, that is Christ. Isn't that something? So in the same way, we do all in word or deed in the name of Jesus. Now, I mentioned that Sue had a debit card and a checkbook. We only have one account, by the way. I don't believe in separate accounts. I really don't. We're one. If I can't trust her, this deal's over anyway. She can't trust me, the deal's over as far as I'm concerned. I don't have any hidden money, and I don't think she does either. Okay? I could preach right there, but anyway. That's not tonight's message. See, in the same way that she has a debit card and a checking account. And she, by the way, do you know Sue doesn't call me to see if she can use it? I trust her to use it. I expect her to use it. I would think something's wrong with her if she didn't use it. Amen? Use it, baby. It's much more... Okay, go ahead. In the same way that Sue has a debit card and a checkbook, in my mind, we also have a legal right to do business in the name of our husband. It's much more power than a debit card. We have the name of Jesus. Now, a debit card has a certain power. Money has power. It does. That's why it's the only thing Jesus ever really come. He never. Devils are no comparison. You know, devils. He's not worried. He says, don't make a god out of money. Say, you can't serve God and mammon. Okay, mammon has power. It does. You can build your own little kingdom, have your own little army if you got enough money. Isn't that right? But the name of Jesus has much more power than money. Has much more power than a debit card or a checking account. We have the name of Jesus Christ. We have it not like in our pocket. We have the name because we are joined to the Lord and we are one spirit with the Lord. And if you've been doing this message, the mind of Christ progressively overtakes your thinking. And you're here to do business in the name of the kingdom. Using the name of Jesus, and he expects you to use it. Yes. Like I expect Sue to use that debit card. Amen? Now, we have the name of Jesus Christ to exercise dominion over every name that is named. Most Christians keep waiting for God to flip the switch of power on in heaven. There is no power switch. Amen. The power is in the name. And it's your name. It's more than a name you carry with you. It is your name. You're joined to the Lord. You are one with Him. He expects you to use the name. Okay? So the analogy here, and this is 1 Corinthians 6:17, which you already looked at. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The analogy here is of a husband and a wife, how the two become one physically. But see, you are joined to the Lord spiritually. You have become one in spirit. You are the bride. You have His name. Peter had the name of Jesus. He had it. And he used it to set the captive free. Such as I have, Peter said. Give I thee. Well, what did he have? He had the name of Jesus, and so do we. All right? So let's look at it. Acts 3:6. I'll get there myself. Acts. Somebody was looking at my Bible one time, how it's all, look at the ends of it. You see how it is? It's all like fluffy. They said, how do I get my Bible to look like that? I said, use it. Yeah, I don't know any other way. Just use it. So Acts 3:6. I've got to back up a little. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, I love this, While I don't love it that he was lame, but it's, I love this example. Because if the name of Jesus will cure birth defects, I bet it'll take care of your headache. I don't think your visa bill is going to be a problem either. Okay? A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He wasn't asked for healing. One thing you got to understand, too, where we're going, there's more than one way to get healed. I'll guarantee you this, now that you can get healed on your own faith. This man did not get healed on his faith. He got healed on Peter's faith. Peter's faith in the name of Jesus. See? All right. This guy, he's just wanting money. He's asking for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But now he wasn't expecting to receive healing. Come on. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Now stop for a moment. Does that not fit the message that I did here a week or so ago called the doer and the helper? You remember the guy running the crane? That crane had power. It could lift up a whole car. It could lift up six I-beams. It could load a whole truck at one time. That thing had power. That's the Holy Ghost. See, that's a type of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But I remember that crane operator. I remember that. I can see him in my mind. He's overweight some. Usually one or two buttons was undone. You could see the guy's belly button. Wasn't a pretty sight. He loved Cheetos. His fingers were orange from the Cheeto dust, you know. It's crumpled up potato chip bags and you know, soda cans. I mean, that's not the picture of perfection. It's not the picture of holiness. But he did have something. He had authority to operate the crane. And he knew how to do it. See? Peter's saying the same thing. Why look on us? Why? Can't you see the Cheeto dust on my robe? You know, I'm making a point, you know. I'm not perfect. It's not. Why look on us by our own power? It'd be laughable for anybody to start praising that crane operator for his own power. No. It's the crane that has the power. And it's certainly not that guy's holiness. Trust me. Now, previews of coming attractions. That is a good way to start that teaching. But see, that guy, that crane operator, if there's an enemy comes that tries to dislodge him, he's got handles out the wazoo. I guarantee you that guy would leave that job if somebody offered him a $5,000 raise. Got a big old handle of money. He might leave it if they offered him a year's supply of Cheetos. Now, see, that's another message, see? That's the danger of never growing up. Yeah, you can learn how to operate and function. That's what we've had mostly is children operating in gifts. Children at the controls. I might do a I hear this title, Children at the Controls. It's dangerous. Like putting a little 6-year-old grandson in a 442. Trust me. That can be dangerous, you know. Okay? But anyway, that's not tonight's message. Peter here. Why look you on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And here it is. This is what we have too. And his name. Through faith in his name. Hath made this man strong. The crane operator can say, this crane, through my faith that when I move these controls, the crane will do its job, hath lifted that bunch of I-beams. Same thing here. His name, through faith in his name. I want to say it again. The power is in the name. We keep waiting for God to flip a switch. It's already been flipped, honey. All authority has been given to him. The switch has been flipped. And then he gave us the name. Okay? We're going to go through some things quickly here. Go to Acts chapter 8 for a minute. I was just going through looking for verses that had in it the name of Jesus. Here's one that I don't know that I've ever really heard taught on. I'm going to teach on it. Not tonight. I'm just going to introduce it. We all know about Philip going down and preaching and how, you know, they believed. They saw the signs and the wonders and the people believed. And then later on, Peter came down and got them filled with the Holy Ghost. Y'all remember that? But notice Acts chapter 8, verse 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now notice, and the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know why I've never seen that before. I read that today and it was like, when did they put that in my Bible? He didn't just preach the kingdom. He had some messages about the name. Woo! That name that is above every name. I'm going to do some more digging there. See there? Concerning, he taught him about the kingdom of God, and he taught him about the name of Jesus Christ. And boy, it convinced them. They were baptized, both men and women. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, go to Ephesians 1. You can be putting a marker in Philippians 2. These are verses that I know you're probably familiar with, but I'm going to get to something in a minute that you might not be. First off, the real revelation tonight is you have the name more than you realize. It's not a name you carry with you in your pocket, something you pull out to do business with, really, even though I've used debit cards and that kind of thing. The reason that works is because you're joined with the Lord. His name is your name, bride. His name is your name. It's hard for me to picture myself as a bride. Hairy legs and all, though. If he's Adam, I'm Eve. I can't get out of it. You know. Now, I plan on being a very masculine Eve. Ephesians 1, look at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, chapter 2, if we was in Ephesians, says you have been raised together, quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and seated together in him. You are, I know we're on planet Earth, but we are at that same moment, as far as God's concerned, seated in him at the highest place of authority that there is, at the right hand of God. Amen. Far above, not just above, far above all principality and power and might. And dominion. And it's like Paul, he's searching for words. And every name that is named. That pretty well covers it. Leukemia is a name. Cancer is a name. Even birth defects is a name. And the name of Jesus is above all of it. Above all of it. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, if all things under his feet, one thing I know for sure, feet don't grow from the head. Feet are on the body. The church is the body. The devil is under your feet. And I don't care what name it is. I don't care what manifestation. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11, or 9 through 11, talking about the obedience of Christ. Even though he was made in the image of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he humbled himself. He humbled himself all the way to the cross. I didn't copy all of that down, but starting in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, here it is again, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Every knee. And it has no choice. We've got to get this straight. Cancer has no choice. It has no choice. Leukemia, I'm going to tell you this one again. Listen, healing is in the atonement as much as salvation is in the atonement. Remember we did that study a few weeks ago? The same Hebrew words where he bore your sins and he bore your iniquities is where he bore your sickness and carried your pain. He can no more say no to healing you than he could say no to saving you when you called on the name of Jesus. See, that flies in the face of all our experience. We've lost loved ones recently here. We've got another one right now fighting for his very life. A lot of us are in intercession. But bless God, we are going to stop losing them. We're going to stop losing them. You hear me? Because his name, look at it. Every knee has to bow. And I don't care if it's brain cancer. I don't care if it's bone cancer. I don't care if it's pancreatic cancer. I don't care what it is. If it has a name, it's got to bow. Every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want you to write this one down, if you can. This is a sentence. I didn't originate this. But it's come back to me. I don't know who I first, if I remembered who I first heard say it, I would give them credit. But it's 15 years ago probably. But it came roaring back to my consciousness. And I know it's true. When a child of God speaks in the name of Jesus. Now that's you. When a child of God speaks in the name of Jesus, heaven hears and agrees. And hell hears and obeys. And obeys. I'm going to say it again. When a child of God speaks in the name of Jesus, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. You are God's child, man's servant, and Satan's master. Satan's master. I'll say it again. This is true. Now, it is true. You are God's child, man's servant, and Satan's master. Isn't that true? With the 70, they were not even born again. You know what they really had? All they really had was the name. They didn't have the new birth. They didn't really have, the Holy Ghost was not in them the way he's in us. All they really had was they'd been authorized by the king. And when they come back, Lord, it's like they thought he wouldn't know. Even the devils are subject to us through that name. And if you look that word subject up, I mean, it's literally devils have to bow. They have to bow and obey whatever they said. Like Jesus sent them into the pigs. Where did they go? They went into the pigs. Say it one more time. It's good for you. You are God's child, man's servant, and Satan's master. When a child of God speaks in the name of Jesus, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. Now let's see an example. You remember when Peter, I really want you to go ahead and go to Luke 13. While you're going there, I'm going to give you some very familiar examples. Remember when Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And some said Elijah, some said this one. Yeah, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered correctly, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? Jesus said, wow, you know, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. My Father revealed it to you. And upon this rock, the rock, what rock? Not Peter. That rock, that revelation right there. Christ is the cornerstone of the church. Upon this rock, thou art the Christ. That cornerstone. See that? My dad was in construction for years, building these little 6- and 8-story buildings. And I'm telling you, nearly all of them had a cornerstone. And that stone, it had to be perfect. It had to be lined up. It couldn't even be an eighth of an inch out of alignment, because that whole building was going to be erected based on that cornerstone right there. And Christ is the cornerstone. So he says, upon that rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Peter had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. That is the rock of revelation that the church is built upon. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All authority is given unto him in heaven and earth. Now we are to go in his name to bind the devil and loose the prisoners. Because back there in Matthew 16, when Peter had that revelation, the very next thing Jesus said was, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now go to Luke 13. I think I told you. I'll go there myself and get it all. Luke 13. I'm going to start in verse 12. Excuse me, verse 11. 13:11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, he just said, now whose faith is involved here? Hers or his? No, she didn't say anything. She just walked in, bowed over. Am I reading it right? She could in no wise lift herself up. She just come to church. She's been coming for 18 church, sanctuary, synagogue. But she's been coming for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out about whose faith it is, you guys know, great is thy faith, according to thy faith. I believe in having faith for your healing. That is only one way to get healed. Where God is bringing the prayer center, I'll just tell you right now, we're going to start getting people healed on your faith, even if they don't have any faith. See, you want to get them healed on your faith. You want the ultimate example? The woman at the town of Nain, Jesus wrecked their funeral. It was her only son. He was already dead. And they're headed to the graveyard carrying the casket. Trust me, it was not the son's faith in the casket. There's not a word spoken about the woman having faith. But what it does say, when Jesus saw it, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her. And he just wrecked the funeral. Stop. Come forth. Trust me, it wasn't that boy's faith. When you're dead in the... Anyway, wasn't pretty obvious, wasn't his faith. See, we always want to identify with the sick. We want to identify with the oppressed. At a better level, we identify with the 12. We identify with the disciples. There is only one person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John who you're supposed to identify with. And his name is Jesus Christ. If I had time tonight, we'd get on into the servant shall be as his master. Say it with me again. When I speak in the name of Jesus, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. I am God's child, man's servant, and Satan's master. Okay, now, we'll finish this up here. Now, look at this. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately, we're going to see a lot of immediately's, she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. If I had time, I'd do my toad thing. How dare you? Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. 6 days, my foot, that woman been coming for 18 years and hadn't got healed. Come on. Religion will make you stupid. Verse 15. The Lord answered him and said, Jesus is always so politically correct. He never wants to upset anyone. In church, to the leader, he says, hypocrite. Hypocrite. Thou is in italics. It wasn't even that nice. The guy's giving his, thou shalt come 6 day on the 6 days and be healed. Jesus, hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? Nah. Remember the binding and loosing? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Satan had her bound. Lo, these 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? See, what you have there is two kingdoms at war. You have the kingdom of darkness saying, I've got her. Look how I'm going to make her just... all she can see is her toes. Bowed over. And there's nothing... she can go to the synagogue. I don't care that... Satan would say it like this. I don't care that the Jews have a covenant with God for healing. I have her bound and there's not anything you can do about it. That's Satan's boast. Until the Son of God walks in. And what Satan hath bound... he loosed. And when we come in and we see anything where Satan has them bound, and we have the name of Jesus, and we are to loose the captive. Thou art loosed in Jesus' name. That's kingdom business. You have two kingdoms at war there. Can you see it? The kingdom of darkness, I have her bound. I have her bound. And there's nothing you can do. I don't care that you have a covenant with the God of Abraham. I have her bound until the Son of God walks in. And when he speaks, heaven hears and agrees. And hell hears and obeys. And whatever it was that had that woman bound, it skedaddled. It took off. And that's the way it's going to happen with us too. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, just like here, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he said in John 17, Father, as thou hast sent me, I am sending them. Hallelujah. Say it one more time. I am a child of God. I am God's child. I am man's servant. And I am Satan's master. When I speak in the name of Jesus, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. What I bind is the strong man. I stop the devil's works. and I loose the captives. What I loose on earth is loosed in heaven because I have the name. Amen? Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Now, that's who we are really now. That's who we are. And it's not a pride thing. It's not a pride thing. It's an ultimate humility that God would grant us such authority, grant us such power. You haven't been here all these years doing this message to still have handles sticking out in all directions. I said on a recent message, are you mature enough to know you don't get the glory? Have you grown up enough to know you don't get the glory? Have you got that? Have you grown up enough to know that they don't pay you for the work? The working of God. You know, we're grown up. We're grown up a lot. It's time to be about our Father's business.